Glad to have Evangelist Gene Howard with us today. I appreciate his ministry. He goes to small churches, big churches, in-between size churches, and he does a lot. How many of you are veterans? Raise your hand in the service. Raise your hand real high, all right? You'll appreciate this. He goes now to veterans' homes, and he'll maybe tell you a little more about that, and hospitals, and just has a great ministry there and wins those people to the Lord. Many of them, and we're thankful for that. The government doesn't give him any money for doing that, so he needs churches like ours to help support him, amen, and we do that, but that enables him to get to those veterans and many other ways that he can do it. But we're glad to have Brother Gene with us today, Mr. John Wayne himself. He walks like him, he talks like him, shoots like him. He even smells like him. So anyway, you come. John Wayne, come on, Brother Gene.
Thank you, Brother Weaver. Thank you. Brother Weaver, thank you very much. Well, I'd just like to say one thing before I get started this morning. I don't care how late you was up last night, and I'm a little bit hot here. Can you turn me down just a little bit? I got a good strong voice. There you go. I don't care how late you was up last night and how early you got up this morning. Nobody goes to sleep on me. If you do, plan on sleeping for a long time. How many of you have never seen me speak before? Oh my, quite a few. For all of you that have never seen me before, John Wayne didn't start to look like me till about 25 years ago. Early pictures don't look anything alike, but I figured, well, God gave me some of the looks. And I do about 40 different voices. I'm glad if I had to look like one and sound like one naturally, I'm glad it was John Wayne and not Bugs Bunny. And I thank my wife, Norma, back here. Can you stand, Norma? Norma Lou, 53 years she's been married to me. Give her a hand. And I have to say this, my lawyer requires this, other than the authorized videoing by the church this morning, no other video, please, because of certain legal restrictions we have with disclaimers that have to be on stuff and everything that we do. But you can take still pictures anytime you want to, and I'll take pictures with you after. I'll even take video with you afterward if you'd like. Lord's been good. I have been to a lot of different things. I do have a burden for for veterans. And I am going more into our veterans ministry now, trying to get into more of the veterans' homes, the veterans' hospitals, and have a picture that has the gospel on the back of it. And sometimes federal ones, I have to kind of work through the chaplains with this. But if they want me to come and entertain them, they try to get the chaplain to go along with me, amen, with this, because I'll come and put them on a free show, and won't charge them travel expense or anything. And on the back of my picture, it has the plan of salvation basically done up in the freedom sacrifice theme, but it's a Romans road. And so we pass these out. We print these 10,000 at a time. We give out anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 every month signed to people, and try to get somebody to go to heaven with us. And we won't know till we get to heaven, but we do know one lady that told me that she was going to commit suicide that evening and read my picture and received Christ as her Savior. And nobody else had given her the gospel. So, folks, it's a ministry with us. We thank you for supporting this ministry and for helping us to get down the road to make this happen. And you have a part of all those souls that's being saved in this ministry. And so we praise God and pray something to be done today, that the Holy Spirit move among the service today and people's hearts will be touched and God will speak to you as I bring this message. The message I'm going to bring this morning is quite unusual. I'm going to be comparing this rifle to a person, and I have a poem called Do You Want My Gun? I did it at the National NRA National Meeting in Nashville in 1994, and you have to excuse me for hitting the bottle every once in a while, but it's salt water in here. I've got allergies. And anyway, they ran that in both the Rifleman and the Hunter in 1994. And it's a poem that I did for them called Do You Want My Gun? Now I want you to listen to this poem and tell me afterwards, think about it. Was it more applicable in 94 than it is today. No, I think it's more applicable today than it was when God gave it to me in 1994. So I want to do this poem for you, and then we'll get into our message. Do you want my gun or do you want my life? Do you want my gun or do you want my wife? Do you want my gun or do you want my store? Do you want just my gun or much, much more? What is it you really want, I must ask myself, for it's one of the few freedoms that we have left. Maybe it's something more political you seek but cannot accomplish unless we become weak. I think of Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, and the rest, fooling the people into thinking they knew best. And they traded their arms for hoes and wooden staves. And they traded their freedom. And they wound up slaves. For when the people can no longer defend their rights, their days become filled with sleepless nights. And soon their fears become much, much more when the secret police knocks at the door. They took them from their family, from their home, and without a trial, they locked them up alone. No visitors, no place they could appeal, for they were politically incorrect to party zeal. Today, most of us are politically incorrect, and what do the liberals want us to put in check? That's right, our guns. They want us to turn them in. For as long as we have them, socialism cannot win. And each day, our liberal government denies our rights as God-fearing people are placed in their sights. So I will keep my gun, and I will use it if I must, to defend my inherited right to say, in God we trust. For the very foundation of this great land of ours is now being threatened, and it may only be ours until God is completely removed from every part, and this country is stripped of its very heart. For freedom of religion is no longer a right, but a battleground for which we must fight. So if you ask me for my gun, the answer is no. Try to take it, and if there's a hell, you'll know. Well, that's a pretty tough poem for a Baptist preacher. Well, I wish everybody was saved. And I wish everybody would honor God and the things of God. But God gave us a great nation. We took it away from the English. And God gave us a nation, and we've gotten the gospel out all over the world through this nation. And we've honored God, but now I think we need to remember that the Bible says the nation that forgets God is soon turned into hell. The answer to this nation is not Republicans or Democrats or Constitution Party. The answer to this nation is get people back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we won't have to worry about the guns. But God gives you a difference. There's a difference. When it's the thou shalt, he can bring this thou shalt not kill thing up. That's really thou shalt not murder. We have the right to self-defense. We went and fought wars against people that killed millions, murdered millions of innocent people. And we killed them to stop them from doing it. When somebody breaks into your house, you have the right to self-defense. Protect your family. So I'd like to say to you that the people in Los Angeles, when they had the riots down there and they had stores, the only ones that got to save the stuff they had in their stores was the ones that already had their guns. 3-day waiting period on the rest of them, they lost everything they'd worked for all their life. Won't do you any good unless it's placed in your hand. You can't hunt with it, you can't defend your home, you can't do anything with a gun unless it's placed in your hand. And you don't have 3 days to wait and go get one when somebody breaks into your house. May I say to you, until you place yourself in God's hand, you can't do anything for the Lord. There's only one way to place yourself in God's hands, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, Jesus is either a liar or he's a Savior, but I'm here to tell you today, he saved my soul. He is a Savior. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. It's not through Mohammed. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Hare Krishna. There's only one name that'll save you, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. If a man believeth in his heart, he believeth unto righteousness, what the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, what your name is, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Can you draw a circle around that spot when you receive Christ and you ask Him to forgive you and to come into your heart and save you, and you got your want-tos changed? I was in the service, 19 years old, when I went to the little Baptist church having a revival meeting. And I heard about Jesus dying on the cross for me. I heard about Him rising up from the dead. I heard about Him being virgin born, so when He died on the cross, He didn't die for His sins. I heard He died for my sins. And He shed that blood on Calvary for my sins. And if I would ask Him to forgive me and come to my heart and save me, He would. And I went down to the altar, and men showed me scriptures. I've already quoted some of them to you. And I asked Christ to forgive me and come into my heart and save me, and He did. And when I got up from that prayer, it was like 1,000 pounds of sin had been taken off my shoulders. When I walked out of that church, I felt like I was walking that high off the floor. Now I'm an emotional person. You don't have to walk that high off the floor to get saved. But the next thing happened to me, when I walked outside the door of that church, had better happen to you or you didn't get saved. Because when I walked outside that church, I did not want to go back and run with those guys I'd been running with. I didn't want to go back to those places I'd been going to. I wanted to get baptized. I wanted to get in church. I wanted to know the Word of God. I wanted to get closer to God. I wanted to know more about Jesus. Can you draw a circle around the spot when you see Christ and you got your want-tos changed? Because if you didn't get your want-tos changed, you didn't get saved. I've had people I've led to the Lord, and I've gone back to them a couple of months later, and I say, look, I'm sorry, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, I prayed that prayer with you, and instead of going to heaven, I said, yeah, but you didn't do it with your heart, you did it with your head, because if you'd have done it with your heart, you'd have got baptized, you'd have gotten church, and you'd be living different from what you're living. A lot of people do it with their head, but they don't do it with the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. We have a lot of people play Christian. We had 4 people in our church get saved about 3 years ago, and you'd have swore they were saved, Brother Weaver. I mean, they came to every service, Sunday morning, Wednesday, Sunday night. Some of them sang in the choir, taught Sunday school. But they were pushing all the right buttons. But they weren't saved. One of them was a teenage girl, grew up in the church, and never gave her family any problem. Went to youth camp, made a profession, but she didn't get a possession. She got saved, her and her husband, down in the music ministry down in New Mexico. You can put on a show. But if you're not really saved, you're making yourself do all these things. You got didn't get your want to. When you get saved, you want to do these things. You want to come to church. You want to do the things of the Lord. Did you get your want to's changed? Baptist missionary in Durango, Mexico, where John Wayne made movies. I got to meet him personally, and he said he personally witnessed to John Wayne for 4.5 hours. They became friends. They played chess between scenes and so forth, he said. Said he even led John Wayne's personal physician to the Lord. John didn't get saved at that time, but his daughter Marissa's testimony, I have it on video, and it's in a book called Strength for Tough People in Tough Times by Dr. Schuller. She said that an invitation was given on television to receive Christ as Savior. She said, my dad, John Wayne, looked at me and said, that's what we need. And she said, as sick as my dad was, he got out of that hospital bed, took me by the hand, got down on his knees beside the bed, and asked the Lord to save him. And she said, I did too. Now, one thing I know about John Wayne, folks, if he received Christ, he did it with all his heart. And if he did that, he's in heaven right now. And if you was to ask John Wayne, what was the greatest thing he ever did in your life? You know what I believe he would say? Was it 153 movies? Not hardly. Was the True Grit and Academy Award? That'll be that day. What was the greatest thing he ever did, Mr. Wayne? I think he'd tell you the greatest thing he ever did was when he got down on his knees beside that hospital bed and asked the Lord to save him, because that got him to heaven. I think the second thing he'd tell you, don't wait as long as I did. I've never seen anybody yet sorry they became a Christian. Now, Brother Weaver, I've seen a lot of sorry Christians. I've never seen anybody sorry they became one. If you're here and you're a kid today, receive Christ today, and you won't have to go through some of the scars that sin leaves in your life. Teenagers, you need Jesus in the center of your life to help you with your marriage partner and with your career. Young married, you can't tell your kids what to do. You need to show them what to do. And mister, they can read you through like a book. And little sister, don't expect them to do anything you're not willing to do. And if you're here and you're in your golden years, as John would say, you're burning daylight. Ain't never going to be a better time for you. Well, I'm just a messenger boy. What you do with this message today is up to you. But I want you to think about it. Are you playing church? Adrian Rogers said this congregation of probably 13,000 people, I guess that auditorium, he says, if you're not trying to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost. Because if you're saved, you're going to want to tell somebody about Jesus. But if you hadn't got anything to share, you're not going to want to share it. Are you winning people to Christ? Maybe you just need to come and pray for boldness today if you're really saved, a witness. They did that in the New Testament when it meant their head to be chopped off if they were caught witnessing. But they prayed for boldness, and the Holy Spirit gave them boldness to witness. Well, that's just not my talent. Not in the Bible, it's a talent. It is a command. And if you don't obey that command, you're guilty of high treason to the general of our army, the Christians. Think about it. Well, you got to make sure you place yourself in God's hands. Make sure you're saved this morning. Second thing, after you place yourself in God's hand through the Lord Jesus Christ, next thing you need to do is have sights. First thing you got to do is sight in on the baptistry. Sight in on the baptistry. It don't save you, but it shows what happened in your heart, that you were buried to your old way of life and raised to walk in newness of life. Were any of y'all in the military? Anybody in the military here? Anybody? Sir, what branch were you in? Marine Corps. Now let me ask you something. When you signed on the dotted line and you took the oath, were you as much in the Marine Corps as you was ever going to be? Yeah. Where's the first place they sent you in the Marine Corps? Boot camp. What if you told them, I don't want to go to boot camp, let's just step this boot camp thing, put me on a base somewhere? Would they go for that? No. What if you insisted I'm not going to boot camp? Where are they going to put you? Probably stockade. You know we got a lot of Christians in spiritual jail because they won't obey the first commandment that God gives, and that's to be baptized after we get saved. That's the first order that you get after you're saved, is to get baptized. Scriptural baptism is by immersion. Baptizo means to be placed under and raised up. If you've not been scripturally baptized, you need to get baptized in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not saving you, but it is showing what's already happened in your heart, buried to your way of life, raised to walk in newness. It's spiritual boot camp. When I went into service, I came out. Every day they'd march us down. When I was in the Air Force, almost every other day, they'd march us down to the theater, and they'd show us these old Army Air Force films. And we didn't have it near as tough as you Marines had it, okay? I think we had one day of bivouac and one day of carrying a pack. And if you PT, if you had a dollar, you could go roller skating or horseback riding. But I want to tell you something. They march down, they show us these films of the old Army Air Corps, where we came from, our roots. Off we go into the wild blue yonder, flying high into the sky, boom, boom, boom. When I came out of there, I was Air Force. When you came out of boot camp, You a Marine, right? From the hills of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Yes, sir. It identified you with that branch of service. It identified me with the Air Force. When you go through the Bedlam Tree, it identifies you with the Lord Jesus Christ. Next thing you got to do is sight in on a good local church. Every ministry ought to be a ministry out of a local church. I'm a ministry out of Texas Avenue Baptist Church in Bryan College Station. I'm accountable to that church for this ministry. I'm accountable to my pastor. He's 30 years younger than me, but if I have a question about something and I go to him with the John Wayne thing or something, I go to him and ask him, do you think I'll do this? If I had a question about it, he said, I don't think I'd do that. I'm not doing it. Because he's responsible for this ministry, responsible for the church. Every ministry needs to be a ministry out of it. You can't do an end run around the local New Testament church with a ministry. And everybody ought to have a job in the church. Oh, everybody ought to have a job. You like kids? Have a kids ministry. You like teens? I don't know why anybody likes teens. Have a teen ministry. I even worked with teens way back. Like adults, have adult ministries. Down there at Winter Texan Expo in McAllen, Texas, I perform down there every year. They hire me to perform, and they let me pass out tracts. January, Norm and I passed out over 2,000 tracts in 2 days there. Some people call them snowbirds since they come from up north. Some call them winter Texans. But since they're white on top and they wear white tennis shoes, we call them Q-tips. So if you like Q-tips, have a Q-tip ministry. You like the telephone? Have a telephone ministry. I like to sing? Have a singing ministry. Amen. Whatever talent is that God's given you, use it for Him. Amen. I tell young people, kids, find out what the talent is God gives you. Whatever the talent is that God gives you, how do you know what it is? What do you like to do? Get you enough education, get you enough experience, you can make a living at, and you'll never work another day in your life. And then use it for the Lord, too. So you need to sign in on the local church. And this is a great church that you could be a part of. If you don't have a church home, I ask you to let the Lord speak to your heart today about maybe joining this church, if that's where God would have you. Next thing you got to sign in on lost souls. Whoa, now wait a minute, Brother Howard. I think that ought to be the first thing. No. I got it right. Get saved. Why are you going to tell somebody else about Jesus if you're not saved? Get baptized. Why are you going to teach somebody else to be disobedient like you are if you're not baptized? And if you get them saved, where are you going to put them if you don't have a local church? The Bible says to teach them, to get them baptized, and get them saved, get them baptized, and then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And that's what Worth Baptist Church does. So you need to sign in on lost souls. I already challenged you on that a little bit, but let me ask you this. How many tracts have you given out this week? How many people have you told about Jesus to? How many people have you witnessed to? How many people have you invited to come to the church? I give out anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 tracts every month, personally signed. Yeah, if I look like John Wayne, I give out tracts too. Well, before John Wayne ever started to look like me, I gave out 10,000 a year. It don't have anything to do with your face. It has something to do with your heart. Amen? You're saved, you need to be telling other people about Jesus. I wish somebody would teach a class on Walmart visitation. Now, don't go in there and just pass out, passing out tracts. I've been kicked out twice. But slow down while you're there. You know, and look at the guys in the fishing department there, looking around some fishing lures or whatever. What do you catch with that? Or where do you go fishing? There's still a conversation going. Maybe God will open the door for you to tell them about Jesus or give them a tract. You're in the wait checkout line. I always get the wrong checkout line. Man, we run this car through 15 times. They don't work. Neither did any of the other ones. Price check. What are you going to do while you're in that line? Why don't you get acquainted with the person beside you? God, and I pray God will open the door to get you to be able to talk to him about Jesus. They're not going to kick you out of there now. You got all this stuff you got to pay for. They're going to wait until you pay for it before they kick you out. But wherever we go, folks, we ought not be in such a rush that we can't take time to talk to somebody about the Lord, give them a track. How many of you give out this week? Maybe you need to repent this morning and start sharing Jesus. So you need to be concerned about lost souls. Sight in on lost souls. Then you need to have a straight barrel. I grew up knowing how to shoot. I had when I was a kid, I taught gun safety, and we ought to teach our children gun safety. Eddie Eagle program's good with the NRA about doing that. But we need to teach gun safety to our kids. And we went out to grandma's, and we kind of survived off the land in the wintertime. They went hunting and all. My job was to get squirrels. And I knew how to shoot squirrels. I shoot them right through the eyeball so it didn't mess up the meat. And if you like squirrel brains scrambled with eggs, they're already scrambled when you took them out. So I knew how to shoot. And I had a single shot, and you didn't miss, you know. You didn't have no pow, 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 just one shot. You know, you got that squirrel before you run off. So I was in boot camp, and we was having on the shooting range trying to qualify, and I wasn't qualifying. Guy next to me was from New York City. He never even seen a gun, and he's making sharpshooter. I figured out what was wrong. That old M1 carbine had barrel so bent on it, I was shooting at my target, and I was hitting his. So I started shooting at that guy's target, and I made sharpshooter. Had a bent barrel. May I say to you that God's got a barrel straightener down here at the altar? You can't say one thing, well, I'm from Worth Baptist Church, and then listen to the same old dirty jokes and same old do the same things these people are doing. You got a bent barrel if you're saying I'm from Worth Baptist Church, and then you're shooting somewhere else. You need to get your barrel straightened. You need to have a clean barrel too. I walk into the bar and there'd be a guy sitting there that I'm trying to witness to, and I walk into a bar. And I sit down at the stool and say, hey, give me a Bud Light. Hey, Jake, you know you need to be in church. He'll fall off the stool laughing at me. I'm down here trying to forget my sins. I'm down here trying to get drunk so I can sleep tonight. I thought Jesus saved you. I thought Jesus took care of your problem. What are you doing down here? There's no reason for a Christian to drink. Be filled with the Spirit, not with alcohol. Jesus will take care of your stuff. Jesus will help you through your situation. Jesus will take care of this. You don't have to get drunk. You don't have to drink. You don't have to even drink sociably. And I've got all kind of stuff that I can give you scriptures on. Don't even look on the wine when it moves. No Christian should take part in alcohol. Well, I wouldn't be able to win that guy to the Lord if it had dirt in my barrel. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You need to have a clean barrel if you're going to witness to people. Maybe you need to confess some things today to the Lord and get some things out of your life. I want you to be used of the Lord. I'd quit smoking. And the little fundamental Baptist church I got in, I was in another church before that one, after I got out of the service, but there was no conviction there in that church. But I got in the little fundamental Baptist church, and nobody smoked outside that church. So I quit smoking. I go on to dipping skull. I go this and never spit. But I wanted to be used of God. And the evangelist came in preaching about this woman who wanted to see her son get saved. And every night she'd get on her knees and say, oh, Lord, please save my son. But she dipped snuff. Not too many people do that anymore. My grandma did that. Teeny boy, so good to see you. Snuff running down both sides of her mouth. Give me a kiss. Grandma, I got a cold. I don't want to give it to you. Oh. But this preacher preached about that woman when we see her son get saved, and he wouldn't get saved because of that stuff in her life. God got a hold of my heart, and I had a can of Skoal in my pocket, and it commenced to burn. The lid didn't come off that wintergreen. It just commenced to burn because I got under conviction. And I went down to the altar, and little old Banny Rooster preacher by the name of Lee Pearson came, put his arm around me. And I got down there before he ever got there, though. I said, Lord, I can't quit this stuff. I've tried to quit tobacco 3 different times, 90 days at a time, go back on it. But, Lord, I love you, and I love lost souls more than I love this. Please, take it from me. I can't quit it. You take it. He took it. And little Banny Reacher put his arms around me. Say, Brother Howard, anything I can do for you? And I said, yes, sir, you can take this can of Skoal and throw it as far as you can throw it. And we were meeting in a little park building. Didn't even have a regular church building. He threw it across that building. He hit the table, fell down, spun around on that table and laid there. And he left it lay there on that table for about 3 weeks. And every time I come to church, I saw it. But I never had a problem with tobacco after that. And then God started using me in junior church and then later with teens, but none of that could have been possible. A whole ministry I've got now that the Lord has given to us would have not been possible had I not been willing to give up that little old paper can. I traded the paper for the silver, for the gold. You're never going to get the gold. You're not going to get the silver if you hang on to the paper stuff. You got to get rid of it. You got to let the Lord have it. And then He can use you. You can't play both sides of the fence. I've had offshore gamblers call me off $1,000 a night. I can make $320,000 a year, work less than 3 hours a night, and have a crab buffet. I like crab buffet. I said, you're crazy. I preach against you on Sunday. I'm not going to represent you on Monday. Why, pilgrim, if... I'm going to tell you something. If money can make you happy, how come millionaires commit suicide? And if fame can make you happy, how come Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson and all these rock singers have to be on drugs? The only thing that will make you happy is taking a talent that God's given you and use it for Him. Amen? Amen? Use it on your job and use it in the church. You can't play both sides of the fence. Now you're like a weed wavering in the wind, the book of James says. So you got to have a clean barrel. Then you got to have ammunition. Can't shoot without bullets. The Word of God is our ammunition. I just ordered 10,000 tracks. Bill's fixing to come in on it. I didn't have the money. Some money is coming to help towards that. I ordered them by faith. I've ordered them by faith before. And by the time the bill comes, the money will be there. What kind of general would let his soldier run out of ammunition? God will never let you down. He's the great supplier. Now I lost my train of thought. My wife says my choo-choo runs the wrong direction most of the time. What was I talking about? Ammunition, amen. Word of God's our ammunition. Thank you, Brother Weaver. We got a thing on our table called Memorize the Books of the Bible, a little story God gave me about the books of the Bible to help you memorize the books of the Bible. If you'll listen close, you're going to hear all the books of the Bible in this little story. Now, some of them abbreviated, some sound a little different, but if you'll listen close, you're going to hear every book in the Bible in this story. Old Testament. Gene and Sis made their exodus. Genesis, Exodus, got it? Genesis made their exodus along the levee to Gush through number to do added to, including Joshua brought down the wall so we could see the judges. As they listened to Ruth talk to Samuel, while the two kings read the two chronicles to Ezra, who was knee-high to my queen Esther, who took a job at the local psalm tree factory where the proverbial Ecclesiastes sang the Song of Solomon, saying, I say it, Jeremiah, don't lament for old Ezekiel who saw the dry bones, while Daniel grabbed a wet Hosea and sprayed Joel. And Amos, all but died of laughing to Jonah, trying to talk on a Micah with a nasal hum, which the ambitious developed flying the hot air balloon to Zephaniah, which dropped a bag on old hag's eye and called Zach to cry in the land of Malachi. Now, there's all the books of the Old Testament. New Testament, you say, well, I learned by singing a song. Yeah, but then the preacher says, turn to the book of Joel, and you got to sing all the way to the book of Joel, amen. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were acting like Romans the two times the Corinthians saw them. One of them, a gal named Epi, who had this friend, Plump Philip. He was colossus in size. He's even bigger than the Thessalonian and Timothy twins put together. When the enemy saw him, they said, he's big, but Titus, let's flee, Mon. Let's flee, Mon. Them Hebrews are too big to whip. Home, James. But the chariot petered out twice with a ka-chong, ka-chong, ka-chong sound. But since it was a Judy Baker, that was no new revelation. Amen. There it is. All right. You got to have ammunition. Amen. Can't shoot without bullets. You need to know the Word of God. We spent more time watching television than we do reading the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to tell people about Scripture. You know, it's the Word of God that brings conviction upon people's heart. Not what you say. It's what the Word of God. You know, you say to somebody, you old dirty rotten sinner, you're going to die and go to hell. You know that? They'll probably slap you upside the head. But if you say, you know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. Then they got to get mad at God. God can handle it. You can't. Amen. All right. Now, you also need to... What happened to this rifle? If I placed it out in the grass out here and left it out there for about 2 weeks? Rust. Rust. I bring it in and take a wire brush and clean the rust off the thing. You know, sin is a lot like rust. It just kind of accumulates a little at a time. You ever hit your finger with a wire brush while you clean the barbecue grill or something? You know, it hurts. When I preach, Brother Weaver preaches, different Brother Rigsby preaches, you know what? Sometimes we wire brush people. Because you got some sin accumulating. And whenever it gets to your sin, boy, it hurts when the preacher hits it, don't it? You got wire brushed. Now, what am I going to do with this thing? I wire brushed it. Well, now I wire brushed it, cleaned it up, now I take it back out and lay it out in the grass. What's going to happen to it? It's going to rust up twice as fast. And I've seen people when I preached, instead of getting right with God, instead of doing what they ought to do, they bow their neck and they get tight and they walk out of the service. And they get back into sin twice as fast. I've seen people have a little sin in their life and they let that thing grow. And next thing you know, it spread to the family. Next thing you know, they've lost their whole family. Barney Fife said, nip it in the bud, Andy, nip it in the bud. You got to nip it in the bud, pilgrim. You see that sin, God gets a hold of you, it hurts, get down to the altar and get that thing right with God. And what he'll do, he'll oil you with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, oil represented the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He's our comforter, he's our soother, And God wants to forgive you. If you got something wrong in your life, God will forgive anything. He had an abortion, God will forgive you. You committed murder, but God will forgive you. If you're a thief, God will forgive you. Whatever you do, I'm telling you something, God will forgive you. The only thing you forgive, can't forgive is not receiving his son Jesus as Savior. But he'll forgive you. And Christians, if you'll come to him and talk to him, the Holy Spirit will just come and oil you. He'll wrap his arms around you through the Holy Spirit. And he'll just oil you. When's the last time you got a ministry? When's the last time you ready to surrender that ministry back to the Lord? You know, sometimes preachers say, would you do this? And you say, yeah, I don't know if I could do this or not, preacher, but I'll try it. And you get on these, oh, Lord, please help me to sing that song tomorrow morning. Lord, please help me to take up that offer and not drop the collectional plate on somebody's head. Lord, please help me to, you know, and you pray, and then the next day you do the job, and maybe you make some mistakes, but still the Holy Spirit was in it, and people's lives were touched by your ministry. Huh? But then we get so good at it that we forget to pray on Saturday night, you know, and we just take it for granted. Then we get up there and we do it in the flesh, and you wonder why you're not getting results when you're doing it in the flesh. I've got 50 text prayer warriors praying this morning for the services. Some of them have churches, some of them have prayer groups. We've got probably 500 to 700 people praying for people in this service to get saved. You know why I do that? Because D.L. Moody was asked, what's the greatest thing you ever done in your ministry? Why do you get so many people saved? He says, it's not me, it's 189 people in the basement praying. And we started doing that, and we've had more souls saved in the last 2 years that we did that than any prior thing in our 40 years of ministry. Prayer works. Need to pray about it. And when the Holy Spirit works in the service, that's what's going to do it. The Word of God does the work of God, but the Holy Spirit bears it to people's hearts. When's the last time you come down and prayed and surrendered that ministry you have in this church to the Lord and say, Lord, I just need to turn this thing back over to you. You might even be thinking about quitting that ministry, but maybe God don't want you to quit. Why don't you come talk to him about it? Well, last thing I want to talk about. You got any deer hunters in here? Any deer hunters in here? Anybody ever shot a 14-point deer? Let me see your hand real high. Stand up. You ever since shot a 14-point deer? Let me see your hand. You did? How many? 16. Wow. Anybody ever done more than 16? Shot more than 16-point deer? 16. All right, brother, I'm going deer hunting, okay? I'm going deer hunting now, and I'm up and stand, and out of the brush walks an 18. Did you get me? 18-point deer, okay? You shot 16, right? This is 18. Out of the brush was an 18-point deer. Wow, look at the rack on that deer. Man, look at the rack. That deer is going to look good on my wall. Man, he's going to taste good on my table from barbecue pit. All right, let's go home now. Did I forget to do anything? What did I forget to do? Pull the trigger. Yeah, I forgot to pull the trigger. One of these days I'm going to get saved. One of these days I'm going to ask Christ to come in my heart and be my Savior. One of these days I'm going to quit playing church and I'm going to really get down to business with Christ. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days, one of these days. One of these days I'm going to do a ministry in this church. One of these days I'm going to volunteer to serve the Lord. One of these days I'm going to start witnessing to people about Jesus Christ. One of these days I'm going to sing. One of these days I'm going to... One of these days, one of these days, one of these days, one of these days, and oh, let me tell you something. One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You want something to happen in your life? You want something to happen in your ministry? Pull the trigger. 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 Why don't you pull the trigger today? If you're not sure about your salvation, pull the trigger with me here today. Would you bow your head? No one looking around. Right now, maybe you've been playing church. Maybe you've been pushing all the right buttons. Maybe you've been looking good to the preacher and everybody else around. Or maybe you're here today and you know you're lost. You know you've never received Christ as your Savior. And we're not going to have any music or anything right now. We're going to have a regular invitation in a little while, and the preacher will... handle that, and so when he does that, well, then we'll have some music. But right now, I want everybody's head bowed, no one looking around. You're here this morning, and you've never received Christ, or maybe you did it with your head, not with your heart, but you know that you're having a hard time because you're not really saved. Or maybe you know you're not saved. But right now, would you be honest with me? Would you be honest with God, most of all? Would you be honest with God? And right now, but your head bowed, if you're not saved, would you pray this prayer with me right now? And you can be saved if you'll pray this prayer from your heart. And don't have to be out loud, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. God will read your heart right now if you'll pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. I know you rose again. And you're alive right now. I am sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins to you. and ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and I now receive you as my Savior, and I will follow you, and I will never, never, never be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. With every head still bowed, no one moving, every eye still closed, as a testimony, Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. You know what that means? That means when you get saved, you got to tell somebody. I went back to that base and told some of them guys what happened to me, and some of them guys came with me 70 miles to that base, and some of them got to that church, and some of them got saved. But I had to tell people what happened to me. If you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer with me for the first time or the first time you meant it, we're not talking about joining this church right now. We're not talking about baptism, and no one is going to come to you in any way and embarrass you. I won't allow that. But if you're here this morning and you just received Christ as Savior, Brother Weaver, would you come to the platform with me? Would just me and Brother Weaver and most of all Jesus looking on, because you told him you wouldn't be ashamed of him. And this is one way you can check if your salvation was real this morning, if you prayed that prayer from your heart, if you're willing to testify that you received Christ your Savior. We're a big auditorium, so I want you, if you receive Christ as your Savior, I want you to slip your hand up real high and keep it up. If you just received Christ your Savior in this service, not some other time, but in this service this morning, you prayed that prayer with me, would you hold it up real high? Ma'am, I see a hand over here real high. One. Anybody else? I received Christ as my Savior. Keep it up. Two. Anyone else? I just received Christ as my Savior. Not ashamed of it. Anyone else? All right, you two can put your hand down. Anyone else? I just received Christ as my Savior. Was that three over here? That one. Three. Anyone else? I just received Christ as my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of it. Anyone else? Real quickly now. I'll give you a chance to make this known to me and the pastor, but most of all to Jesus, who you said you wouldn't be ashamed of. Anyone else? Real quickly. I didn't raise my hand yet, but I did receive Christ my Savior, and I need to do that. Yeah, preacher might even think you're saved, but you knew better than that. Come on. Anyone else? Right now. Father, we thank you for those that have raised their hands. And I pray now as the pastor continues his invitation, Father, that you will just bless. In Jesus' name, preacher.
That's all.